destruction. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another nice looking day. A little bit warmer. I mean, it's not like it's warm, but I mean, we touched the 50 degree mark today.
Yeah, 50 degrees. It feels like it's 60.
I tell you what. I mean, now I don't mind it at all. Look, I probably would say I prefer cooler weather to just hot weather.
Yes.
I mean, I love the summertime and everything, but I'd rather be cool than hot. I always tell my wife, you know, look, it's easier to add more layers than it is, you know, there's only so much you can take off. but no, it's nice. This is close to perfect. Somebody asked me, I mean, the other day when they said, Jacob was talking about he likes colder weather, and this was his kind of weather, and I said, give me about 20 degrees. Give me mid-50s to mid-60s, you know, and then don't drop it below 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's fine, and perfect. that is a little bit of spring. We don't seem to get as much spring and fall. It's more just summer
bang
or winter,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice looking today, a little bit warmer. Enjoy it,
sun
folks
out.
Enjoy it. Doesn't look like we're going to get much rain in the foreseeable future, but it is going to get cold.
Yes,
again,
sir.
This weekend, so enjoy it.
Yeah. The high Saturday, 27.
Golly, I didn't see the high was 27.
The low, 17 or lower.
Man. So I was seeing wind chills are going to be somewhere in the 5 to 10 range.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's going to feel like. It's somewhere between 5 and 10 degrees Saturday night.
Mm.
But today we're here, and Don and I here in the studio, Drew at the controls, Dan still on the road with Troy women's basketball, Jason Caldwell, our regular Wednesday guest, will be joining us shortly. He's down in Mobile. It is Senior Bowl week, you know, the week in between the conference, the NFL conference championships and the Super Bowl. It's the tradition of the Senior Bowl, and you know, good for them. I mean, you were mentioning it a while ago, and look, I grew up in South Alabama, Don.
Right,
and that was something that a lot of us just made, a yearly
part of it.
Yeah, just a yearly trip down to Mobile.
Yeah,
we'd go down, sometime during the week because it was an hour or so away, so we'd be able to drive down there. And back then, you'd go into the old Admiral Sims Hotel, downtown, and players and NFL coaches and you would just be hanging out and wandering around, and it was really cool. And I had autographs from guys like I remember in 1964 I got Tucker Fredrickson and Joe Namath's autographs.
Wow,
it was cool. And then I actually, one of the fun things, I bet I really disappointed somebody. When I was like a junior or senior, we're wandering around down there, had a couple of kids come up to me. I mean, because I was in shape back then. And it's like, oh, who am I? And I made some name up. I didn't even give them my name. And I scribbled something on a
That's
piece
funny.
Of paper. Because you never knew they were kids. The Senior Bowl has always done such a great job. They would find guys that weren't just the big names.
Right.
You know, before a lot of people knew who he was, I remember Jerry Rice being there at the Senior Bowl. They'd go get guys from the smaller schools that NFL scouts wanted to see and wanted to see how they did against those top players. So it's cool that the Senior Bowl has been able to hang in there. A lot of things like that, haven't been able to make it. But, the Senior Bowl's going on, and Jason is down there.
He said he'll call us back. They're about to do interviews.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Jason is down there for a couple of reasons. I mean, to see how the Auburn guys are doing. But Auburn coach Alex Golish is there. And that's what he had told me. He said he didn't have any idea when Coach Golish was going to be available for the media. He's about to talk to them.
Right.
So Jason will call us back when they get done talking with Alex Golish. This will be really interesting because they've now signed all these transfer portal players, and I believe they're all in school. So he should be able to talk about all the players that they have brought in, the 39 transfers that Auburn has added. And as we were going off the air yesterday, came the news of a literally huge addition to the roster, and that's a return to the roster for Dallas Walker, the big nose tackle. He played at about 360 last year, but a space eater. And I mean, I've had a couple of people that really break down film say he was a huge factor as far as the linebacker play last year.
Right, keeping him clean.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like we talked yesterday at the end of the show, that is a big, big, big plus for the not only the defense, but like you said, for the linebackers, everybody involved, stopping the run, protecting the linebackers, letting them, you know, fill gaps and push that pocket back. And plus all his experience, like you were talking about yesterday. It's not like you're getting a freshman or a one-year transfer. This guy's played.
No. As a matter of fact, he got the extra year because he had started his career in 2020 at junior college, and so that year doesn't count. But he played a couple of years, then took a year off before he went to Texas A&M and played 2 years. And the NCAA granted him that extra year because there was a year where he was not playing football before he played those years at A&M. So he's granted the extra year. So he's played the last 3 years in the SEC, and I thought last year probably performed a little better than some people had thought he would coming in. Expected him to be, you know, maybe a spot guy, but he played a good bit.
Yeah.
But he will give them, yes, a very experienced hand there. You know, they're up on the defensive front, so that's going to be very big for Auburn because I mean, when you looked at the interior. Auburn had some young guys. Now, they brought in Cody Sigler, who has worked his way up from West Alabama to Arkansas State, and he is he's in his last year. But the rest of the players on the roster there on the interior are underclassmen. Well, let's see. They added St. Farrier, too. So those two guys, two big guys. Farrier is coming in from a small school as well. But the rest of the players – Jordan Crawford, Malik Autry, Darian Smith, those are true sophomores. Then Walter Mathis, the transfer from LSU, he's a sophomore. And then you have two incoming freshmen, Tavian Branch and Corey Wells. So it's freshmen and sophomores with that one senior transfer coming in Cody Sigler. So they needed the return of the big guy, Dallas Walker. So I've got Auburn at 95 on the roster now. So there's still a little room for them to add some more. I wonder now that the roster is 105, I wonder if they'll go out and find a couple of high schoolers that they'd want to sign in February.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I would hope.
You know, you can now you can bring those, you know, it's guys that would come in that probably wouldn't normally be getting offers from SEC schools that you hope would understand that they're at a developmental phase. They're guys that are coming in. These wouldn't be guys that you would think are expecting to come in and play immediately, and you might be able to sort of
try to redshirt them, bring them along. Yeah, which I think is still important. You don't have as many, but I think it's important to get a few of those guys in your program.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, of the 95 players now on the roster, 25 of them are seniors. It's pretty balanced. 25 seniors, only about a dozen or so juniors, but then 24 sophomores and 35 redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. So I mean, it's balanced out. I think they've done a remarkable job of balancing things out and replenishing the roster and getting some depth.
Yeah.
So I mean, they'd still love to if there is an edge that can help them out there in the transfer portal, or perhaps the other thing that, you know, we don't talk about an awful lot, somebody that graduates at the end of spring that they could add who's an edge. I think that's probably the most pressing need that Auburn has right now. I mean, that's not to say that somebody like Jared Smith or Deshaun Womack or J.J. Falk won't step up and, you know, be that guy that they really want on the edge as a pass rusher. But if you could find somebody else that you could add, another proven guy, I think that would sort of be the cherry on top.
Yeah, for sure. I look for him to get a guy, another outside guy. I know they're probably looking all over the country, and there'll be somebody pop open.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we can look there at the roster, but that was big news yesterday about
– Yeah, that is.
About getting the big guy back. Now, tonight, Auburn with the opportunity to really continue its stretch here. I mean, we talked yesterday about the danger in facing such a talented Texas team, a Texas team that's really been inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost to a couple of teams that you go, well, they must not be very good. But then they go on the road and they beat Bama. And the other night, they just absolutely destroyed Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, a Georgia team that was ranked. Texas has four wins over top 25 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's more top 25 wins than any team in the Southeastern Conference. So they have the capability, and they're going to come in with a completely different challenge for Auburn than they faced against Florida. Against Florida, it was that massive front line.
Mm-hmm.
For Texas, it is a very talented backcourt. Three guys in the backcourt that can put up 20 every game. So that'll be the challenge for Auburn tonight. That and, you know, as we were talking yesterday, avoiding the same thing that happened to the last two teams that Auburn beat. Ole Miss was feeling really good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Had a big crowd on hand last week when Auburn went into Oxford and knocked them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Andy was telling us yesterday that's as big and rowdy a crowd as he's ever seen at the O'Connell Center in Gainesville. And Auburn went in there and just dominated.
Yeah.
Now, Florida made a run, as you would expect, a really good team, too.
Right.
But, you know, Auburn never trailed after being down 3-2.
No.
Florida hit the opening three. Auburn
tied.
Then Auburn scored 10 straight.
Yeah.
And never trailed again. It was tied a couple of times. But, you know, Auburn can't afford to be feeling good about themselves, come in and lose this home game. You lose the home game, that wipes out.
Yeah.
The win that you got on the road down in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's this year in this conference, you got to take care of your home court for sure. And that just a plus, getting that huge, huge win down in Gainesville.
And Auburn's in that six-game stretch. I mean, they've got Texas tonight at home. Then they go to Knoxville this weekend.
Saturday.
Now, they have next midweek off before Alabama comes
they
in.
They have a whole week off, which is good.
Then Vandy comes in. Then Auburn goes to Fayetteville.
Oh.
And you know that Cal and the Arkansas, after what Auburn did to Arkansas, I'm sure they can't wait for that. But, I mean, the next five ball games are you know, really difficult. But Auburn's got three of them at home.
Yeah, that's the key. Take care of home court.
If they can win the home games, can hold serve at home, then they've got a chance of being 7-5 as they head down the stretch for the final six conference games. All right, we're just underway again. Jason Caldwell will be joining us when the media, the Auburn beat and other media get done talking with Alex Golish down in Mobile. We'll get Jason's thoughts on how the Auburn guys are doing down at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, good.
Get his thoughts on the transfer portal now that it looks like Auburn's done, at least for now. And then, of course, talk some basketball with him as well. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us as we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and while we're waiting for Jason Caldwell, we'll get to Jason on the Drive Hotline. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys, got two or three topics I want to talk about today. One of them I've been wanting to talk about for a while. But let me start with Dallas Walker. Coach Dunn, I want your thoughts on a 360-pound nose tackle. If you had an offseason with a guy like that, wouldn't you want to shave 20 to 30 pounds off of him? Couldn't he be more effective at 330 than 360?
Depends on the individual. I've had some guys that, you know, were too, smaller, and some that were heavier. It just depends on the individual. You don't want him to be fat and sloppy.
No, and he's not. Yeah. I mean, that's the surprising thing is he carries it more like he's, I mean, this is crazy to say, only 330.
Yeah, but I see your point. You don't want a guy that cannot move.
No, absolutely.
And so I think it depends on him and the strength guys and nutritionists to see. I'm sure they will test him, you know, for body fat and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they've got a new strength and conditioning coach, too, so that'll be interesting.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he wasn't going to be drafted, so there's something he needs to work on. So I would think a little less weight would probably
possibly
help.
That could be right.
On to my second topic. So I'm going to criticize what I think Auburn's doing on the football roster, and I want you guys' thoughts. The NFL plays with, 52 guys on a roster?
53, yeah.
53, all right. So Auburn's got 95.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess, and I don't know this, but I would guess the minimum we're paying a guy that are on scholarship is $100,000 a piece. Maybe y'all may say 50, but I think it's 100.
I think there's some of the guys that may just be getting a scholarship. That's a few of them. I don't think I would say that there are definitely some guys that aren't getting $100,000.
Okay, there may be a handful that no other power four school wanted, and so let's say there's 20 making $100,000 that probably aren't going to contribute this year. I don't know why you wouldn't rather have a leaner roster with about 70 guys, and let's say that's $2 million that we would save by going from 95 to 70. Maybe we could have gotten the Ohio State offensive guard, or maybe we could have gotten a really good edge to add to this team, as opposed to a bunch of guys who a lot of them aren't going to play, and you guys were talking about development earlier. I don't believe in that anymore. Those guys are, if they're not playing, they're going to leave. So you're just throwing away money like we did with Deuce Knight last year on a guy that's not going to help you and contribute. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
All right, my thoughts here, I think when you're taking over and you're redoing a roster the way that Alex Golish and his staff are having to do now, I think they want to get as many guys in and compete with them as they can. They got as many players that they knew, obviously they're from South Florida or had coached against and brought in. And then from their evaluation, I think they didn't want to blow their budget. You know, we had somebody yesterday – or maybe it was somebody I was talking to today. I guess it was – no, it was Wimp Sanderson that I was on his show this morning, saying Auburn got off to a really slow start, but they really picked up steam. I think what it was is they wanted to be judicious and not blow a big portion of their budget early on while they were trying to bring in players that they thought had a chance of helping them. I think it's going to be different. We'll have to wait and see. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little different from this point on once they know what the foundation of their roster is. But I think right now they really don't know that much about these guys except for the 13 South Florida players they were coaching this past year. So I think they felt it would be better to bring in more players. Let's see what the competition, how it shakes out from this competition, and then they'll know, you know, what they have and what they can pay these guys and what they have left in their budget for additions.
Well, I'll use the example. We got 7 tight ends on scholarship.
Yeah, that is a lot.
How many tight ends are going to play this year?
3 or 4, I would think. Four, yeah, yeah, four max, so is, I would think. Yeah,
that is getting, by your account, as you know, either a scholarship or at least $50,000.
Yeah.
So that's just a prime example to me of some of those. The ones that don't play are going to be gone next year. And so you paid them for a year, and you didn't get anything in return. I understand that they they don't know who's going to come out of that. Who's going to be the four? You know, they probably have a good idea of at least two or three of them, but they may not know who the fourth one is. So, anyway, I don't agree with the philosophy. Just because you can have 105, I don't think that makes the most financial sense to have 105. But just my thoughts on that.
That's interesting. Go ahead.
But I'm headed to the basketball game. Looking forward to it tonight. I feel good about their weakness is probably their inside defense, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably our strength right now.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think,
it is.
I think Hall and Murphy and Jovic are all going to have big nights tonight, I think. So as long as their guards are just not on fire, I think we got a good shot.
I sure hope so. I mean, Auburn needs this one. They win this one, then look, it's the expectation of being able to go to Knoxville and win on Saturday. The pressure's off. I mean, they've gotten that road win at Florida. They just need to win this one to hold serve and see what happens over the next four.
Yeah, that's a great point. You can kind of be loosey goosey in Knoxville with a 5-3 record. So, agree totally. All right, guys, enjoyed it. Thanks.
Good hearing from you, Jason.
Thank you.
I mean, I understand his thoughts.
Yeah.
But I really do think if you knew more of exactly what you had to count, what you could really count on, that you might have then said, all right, let's go big for a guy here, and it may cost us a few fill-in spots later.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll see. Now, you're one that when we talked about this, you know, before the rosters were expanded to 105, you talked about having as many players as you could have to try to practice and get a team ready.
Yeah, for sure. You have to have the numbers. You have to go against somebody. And I think you're right, Bill. What I think, you know, not knowing everything about this team, about who they have, they wanted to make sure, okay, yeah, we may have five or six tight ends, but we have to have that number to find our four.
Mm-hmm.
And now next year it'll probably change their numbers. It'll all work out.
Yeah, and the tight ends. All right, so you know we talked about Jake Johnson, the younger brother of Max Johnson, mm-hmm. who that pair of brothers did some serious damage against Auburn at Texas A&M a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But Arliss Boardingham was one of the later guys brought in, former Florida tight end who had transferred. Out and now I guess it was at Bowling Green, I believe, and now back in. Those are the experienced guys behind them, and you'd like to have, you know, I don't think it's crazy to think you're going to see three or four tight ends, because you're going to see
you can see three at a time,
two or three tight end formations depending on, you know, the situation in the game. Well, I guess they brought in the Herring kid from Louisiana, who is a wild card, a guy that had been quarterback and is a really good athlete that is going to get a shot there at tight end. So, I mean, I wonder if he's really a tight end. He may be a – who knows? I mean, he may be one of those just –
hybrid types.
Yeah, tight end slash big slot, something like that. And then behind them is a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of guys they really, really like the potential for – Jonathan Eccles and Xavier Newsom, that are a pair of 6'6", 240-pound guys who were really highly touted in high school as edge rushers. I wonder.
They might.
And there's something, you know, people are going, you got seven tight ends, you don't have any edge. You think maybe one of those guys will get a look?
For sure.
There as a pass rusher?
Yeah, they'll look at those guys, for sure.
So, I mean, bringing in athletes like that, I have no problem bringing
in
6'6", 240-pound guys that can run. I can find some place to take a look at them.
Some of our best kids, you look at the Jay Ratliffs, the Spencer Johnsons, you know, they switched around. They
yeah,
were good
that's
athletes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will we'll see on that. So
I don't think, and again, the first year you're going to have, you might stack your roster in certain positions just to make sure you have what you need.
And I really think they've done a good job of at least putting numbers there where they have multiple players. Yeah. I'm looking, the only positions, I'm trying to find a position where, again, edge is one where there may only be about four guys there at the edge, but I've got nine interior defensive linemen, six running backs, a dozen receivers. As Jason was saying, there's seven tight ends, but one of those tight ends, you know, might wind up somewhere else.
Right.
You've got 17 or 18 offensive linemen. You've got 9 or 10 corners and around a dozen safeties and nickels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the numbers are what you needed, especially when, you know, when you were down. Man, Auburn has added right at 60 players.
Mm-hmm.
They were down to 35 or so players on their roster. So, I mean, I think they did a very impressive job. We'll see. I mean, winter workouts are going to get started, and then spring practice. It's going to be really interesting spring with so many new faces. And like we were saying the other day, a spring with 90-something scholarship players, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You never had that. I mean, even when players started graduating early and coming in, you didn't have that many guys to work with.
No, and we even work with guys in the spring. We knew we're not going to play in the fall, you know, just to get through spring ball. They just weren't going to make it. I mean, you know, they were going to be on the team. They were going to help, but they weren't going to be the guys you counted on. So, yeah, that's 90 guys. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jason Caldwell going to check in with us when the media gets done talking with Alex Golish down in Mobile. In the meantime, love for you to join in 334-321-1390 as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. I know why it feels like Thursday night. It's because I didn't get any sleep last night. You yawned, Don, and I went, man, I ought to be doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, Don made some coffee. That was some strong coffee you made yesterday. You made some more today?
Yeah, well, Tracy made it, so
she's
trying to kill us.
Let me tell you, Drew, that was some strong coffee yesterday. I mean, he said, they said when I said, when I went, you know, I think I'll drink coffee today. Hadn't had any coffee. I was dragging a little bit yesterday when we came on, so if it sounded like I was sped up a little bit, that's what it was. But that coffee had was pretty
bite.
Strong.
Yeah,
yeah. I added a little hot water to it, and then I put some cream in it. It's like I usually don't put much creamer in it. It's like, man, I needed to put a little bit more in there. So, but no, it did the deal. But it hit me going. I think through the night last night. All right, we'd love to hear from you. Auburn, Texas tonight. Last night. Ooh, your Wildcats took it big time.
They stunk.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Oh, man, very frustrating. I can't believe I stayed up that late to watch that debacle. But I stayed to the end.
End?
Yeah.
I mean, that ball game was over.
10:30. It was over about 2 minutes into the game.
It was well over by halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, just very frustrating to be a Kentucky fan, but Alabama bounced back big.
Yeah, they did, big time.
And then Arkansas hung on and won.
Yeah, that was a
close game,
tight one.
Yeah,
very tight one last night. I mean, that was the only close game. Yeah. Arkansas beat Oklahoma, who's now 1-7,
unbelievable,
in conference play.
They're a dangerous team too now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I mean, they've been close.
Yes.
That's all. You know, it's sort of like Auburn football this past year. They've been close.
Right.
But yeah, it was 83-79. Yeah, Alabama. Jumped on Missouri,
mm-hmm.
Midway through the first half and cruised 90-64 in Tuscaloosa last night. Charles Bediako, playing again. He's now 1-1. And, Don, I think he's going to win this thing. The judge today did recuse himself after
that.
The NCAA had asked for that.
I saw that.
But as I heard, some folks in Tuscaloosa saying, good luck finding a judge there in Tuscaloosa County that doesn't have some Alabama ties.
Yeah, I'd hate to be the guy that goes against him.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll see what happens there. But no, I think he's probably going to win that, and then we'll see what the next situations are. And then the other game that we were alluding to, Vandy at home. After losing three straight, They're now on a little two-game win streak, and they and Kentucky are both 5-3 now after that 80-55. 55 points for Kentucky, 23 in the first half.
Terrible.
They're down 20 at the half.
I know.
Don, I can't believe you stayed up with you. You really thought they had a chance to come back
down
20?
Well, you know, they came back 17 and 19.
Yeah,
but,
well.
They weren't coming back last
no,
night.
No, not last night.
I mean, they just stood around, three guys standing next to each other. Adolph turned over in his grave. I know that, Adolph Rupp. But anyway.
Yep.
Tennessee, Georgia tonight. That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
at Georgia.
Yeah, you're right. Georgia looking to bounce back from being spanked by Texas,
yes,
Auburn's
yeah,
opponent tonight. Yeah. And then Tennessee coming off that big win in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's got a little bit of a stretch here. I mean, they had Alabama and won that one. They've got Georgia, and then they go home for Auburn on Saturday night. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. And let's get back to it. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. I'm excited. We're going to get ready to head to the game. But the thing about Charles Bediako, he made a big difference last night. And like you said, it looks like he's going to win. And then, I mean, I guess I'm at the position, you know, it's like, are we all just going to sit around and watch them do it and win, and then NCAA's going to do nothing? Or are we going to, you know, do the same thing?
I think everybody that can is going to do something. I just don't know that Auburn's in the position to do something right now.
Why don't we have – I thought we had – don't you get 15 scholarships?
Yeah, but they put walk-ons on scholarship back preseason, so all the scholarship spots are taken, and you can't drop anybody or replace somebody who's on scholarship once the season starts.
So we put every single guy on scholarship.
I believe so.
We have 18.
That's what Steven said. That's what Steven said to us a couple of weeks ago when people were asking about finding a big man. He said they were trying to find loopholes to be able to add a spot because in the past, you know, if you had a player that was medical, was out for medical reasons, you could replace that, you know, looking at a Purim and thinking maybe they could do that. But the NCAA has changed that. And so, yes, in hindsight, it's one of those things where they wanted to be good and reward the players that help them by practicing so hard. But it puts Auburn in a position where they don't have a spot to add.
Okay. As I thought we only normally ran about 11 or 12, you know, 11.
Yeah,
or
yeah, you're right.
We didn't use our 13th one or whatever. But I thought for some reason we just weren't taking advantage of the 15. Because, I mean, some of those guys, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're rewarding them, but, man, it's like that's kind of put us in a bind big time.
Well, but I mean,
I feel like we're still good. We don't have any room for injuries.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. They're thin as far as depth. I mean, you know, you thought for sure you're going to see a lot of Bashir out there, more of Simon Walker and Magwood, and you know, hoping that a Purim would give you an extra guy there as a rim protector. So, I mean, it's gone from where, you know, because in the preseason, the first game or two, it was like, is he going to be able to still play 11? And now it's like it's 7 and then Blake Mychalek for a few minutes.
Yeah, no, I understand. The one I don't understand the most is Magwood, but I understand he made a comment or something. But I mean, good God, you know, at some point, you know, how big is that doghouse?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll tell you what, he appears, at least when I see him on the sideline, he appears to be very involved and very supportive. I mean, he's up cheering when his guys make plays, so that's good.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. All right, well, Oregon, hopefully we win this one.
Yeah, no kidding. Appreciate it, Pat.
Right,
yep, tonight you got 3 6 o'clock games with the, you mentioned the Tennessee-Georgia game.
Yep.
In Athens, Auburn in Texas, and Mississippi State-LSU also at 6 o'clock. Then the late game tonight, Florida is at South Carolina as the Gators look to bounce back from that loss this past Saturday against Auburn and try to stay within a game of Texas A&M because right now you've got A&M with one loss, Arkansas winning last night is 6-2. Florida looking to win to go 6-2. Vandy and Kentucky are 5-3. Auburn can move to 5-3 with a win tonight. Alabama is 4-3 because they had the midweek off. Georgia looking to get to 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee looking to get over 500, looking to get to 4-3. While Texas comes in 3-4, Ole Miss is also 3-4. South Carolina, Mississippi State 2-5, LSU 1-6, and Oklahoma 1-7. So that's the those are the standings here in the SEC. You know, looking at some of the notes on the ball game, and yeah, just I got Ted Feely is doing a great job with notes. He's finding he finds some really cool things to put out there.
Yeah.
How dominant has Auburn been in its three-game winning streak? Auburn has led for a total of 107 minutes and 4 seconds over the last three games. They have trailed for just 4 minutes and 14 seconds total over the last three games in basketball. And some of that is Florida scoring, you know, Florida getting the first basket.
Right.
So it was, you know, a half a minute or so of that right there. But, I mean, that's amazing that over three games, barely trailing for a minute a game on the average.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been defense for Auburn. It really has.
The defense, they've really picked up.
Three straight teams held under, you know, under 70 points. Three straight teams under 40% shooting. Mm-hmm. I think Auburn's unbeaten. I think that's another note that he had. Yeah, Auburn's 7-0 this season when they hold their opponents under 40%.
Oh, yeah.
If they could do that tonight. Now, Texas is a really good shooting team. And their guards are very dangerous. Auburn's going to have to keep them from penetrating and really play tight on them. Mm-hmm. It's a tough combination to play tight on perimeter guys, and then, you know, they're going to have to make sure that they know where their help is.
Right.
Because if a guy gets by them, they got to have some help.
Yep.
But, yeah, 6 o'clock is the actually 6:01, as Andy said, is the tip tonight. 5:30 will be the airtime over on Wings 94.3. So yeah, that'll be coming up. Then we played you some of Stephen Pearl yesterday. Mm-hmm. We might be able to get a little more of that in here today. We'd love your thoughts. You know, how are you feeling now about Auburn basketball? Man, the feeling changed quite a bit, would think, over the last week.
Oh, yeah. Any winning, like we always say, winning cures a lot of illnesses.
Oh, there is no doubt about that as the Tigers, especially when you beat a team like Florida, the defending national champs, they looked to be the class of the SEC heading into that matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, especially when you go to a place you hadn't won in 30-something years, and defending national champions who had a huge front line. My goodness, they're big.
Yeah, they really
and athletic.
Yep,
they're not slow.
Hey, speaking of talented front lines, a heck of a ball game last night with Michigan and Nebraska.
Yeah, I listened.
Nebraska's
to
for real.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I didn't think anything about it. You never think Nebraska much of anything lately.
Yeah, well, who a decade ago thought much of Auburn basketball?
Well,
nobody.
Sure. That's right.
So I mean. You get the right guy in there,
and get a few players.
Yeah,
and look
basketball. Basketball. You know, it's quicker. You can get things turned around usually quicker. We're saying that after Kurt Cignetti goes into Indiana and wins a national title, but I mean, it's usually much easier to do it when you have that 15-man roster as a paired compared to now the 105 they've got in football.
Yeah. Then another big game. Indiana beats Purdue.
Yeah.
And Coach was on the sidelines. You know, they interviewed him at halftime or during the game, Cignetti. So he was rubbing that in a little bit.
Oh yeah, man, they're having a great time. Yeah. No question about that.
Wow.
All right, let's get to our final break of hour number one. Still expect to hear. We'll hear from Jason. He'll probably have to post something after the media time with Alex Golish. But Jason Caldwell will be checking in with us. In the meantime, we're keeping the phone lines open 334-321-1390. So come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Wednesday. Bill and Coach Don Dunn in the studio. Drew at the controls. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover going to check in with us when the media is done talking with Alex Golish down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And we'll get Jason's thoughts on what Coach Golish had to say. And also look at tonight's ball game, get some thoughts on the transfer portal. So looking forward to spending a little bit of time with him. Speaking of the transfer portal, is anybody surprised? Big news. Former Duke quarterback Darian Mensah is headed to Miami. I mean, we'd known that was going on since it was put out that Miami was willing to spend $10 million to cover the cost of basically buying him out and paying him to be at Miami next year.
Yeah.
So Miami continues their run on the probably the biggest name, maybe not always the, you know, Carson Beck. I don't know if he was, if you look back at it and go, well, gee, Fernando Mendoza was the Heisman Trophy winner. So Carson Beck may not have been the best or, you know, highest profile, but Cam Ward sure was. And Darian Mensah now is this year. So interesting. You really think, I mean, I've read some people going, well, that'll stop this stuff. That'll teach players. It won't teach players anything.
No.
All it taught Darian Mensah is, hey, if you're good enough, you can get more money. And the team that wants you badly enough is going to pay to get you there. They're going to pay any compensation. See, that's the thing. One of the things we were talking about yesterday is there's got to be some penalty for breaking deals like this.
Yes.
But if the penalty is being paid for by the next guy who's going to be paying you, that's nothing that's going to slow it down. There's no reason for that to stop players from doing exactly what the former Clemson linebacker did, jumping to Ole Miss, or Mensah doing in jumping down to Miami.
Yeah, it's like we said yesterday, it's crazy. But there's got to be something, but I don't know the answer. No surprise there that he's going to Miami.
No, and so we'll see. I mean,
has anything else happened at the Clemson?
No. I mean, there really hasn't been anything.
Kinda quiet.
That's what's surprising to me is, has anybody asked the NCAA about this? I mean, is this?
I'm sure.
If this isn't tampering, what is? I mean, maybe the NCAA is checking to make sure that Dabo did just make up.
Right.
The supposed evidence that he has.
Right.
It's hard to believe that Dabo and his AD would just
go out on
fabricate, these type things.
You know, the thing when I watched with Dabo, he had everything documented.
Yeah, that's
10:01, 9:55. You know, when the texts came through, when the calls, when they talked to the.
Well, he said the player's agent turned it all over to them.
Yeah. I think he got a little nervous, the player's agent.
Yeah, because I think this is something that didn't involve him.
Right.
You know, it was going, cut out the middleman. Yeah. Apparently, I mean, you're not going from someone who represents Ole Miss to the agent of a player. You're going from the head coach of Ole Miss to the player who's in class at another school.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that years ago, that coach wouldn't be coaching at least to start next season, and that player would absolutely not be eligible.
Exactly. That would never have happened.
No.
And if it did, like you said, there would have been
There would have been serious penalties.
Yes.
So that's what's been really interesting to me is it's just crickets
quiet. Yeah, it's just
from
crazy.
The NCAA.
Yeah.
Unless they're just waiting, and then they're going to come down and slam Pete Golding and Ole Miss. I don't know. We'll see. All right. We're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Again, Jason Caldwell will be joining us at some point here in hour number two. Hope you will as well. 334-321-1390 as we're right back with hour number two.
Capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Nice looking day. It's still chilly, but not nearly as cold as we've had the last few days.
Staying lighter.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I mean, it's 5 o'clock and the sun's not completely down. Yes, that's right. Longer and warmer days are coming. But in the near future, cold weather.
Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the high was not going to hit 30 on Saturday.
Nope. High 28.
Yeah.
17 low. Kind of that way for the next 10 days.
Well, it's good. Well, it is winter. I mean, it's the end of January, beginning of February this
weekend. Hard to believe January's over.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Bill and Don here in the studio. Dan is on the road with the Troy women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. Drew is at the controls. Our buddy Jason Caldwell is going to join us. But just as the show got started, that was the time that the media was going to have with Auburn football coach Alex Golish, who's down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. So after Jason gets done there and the media get done with Alex Golish, he said he'd give us a call if he got a chance. So hopefully we'll hear from Jason here in hour number two. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And let's get to it. And Slack gets us started this hour. Hey, Slack.
What's up, guys?
You, man.
I guess something you, both y'all, especially Coach, with the saga going on at University of Alabama with the basketball player, and which judge is going to make the decision, and which one's got the most tickets to the football season and basketball season. You know, we've talked about this a while, you know, about eligibility. You know, it never even pops up anymore.
Doesn't seem to.
So with that being said, a kid that's been out of school for 3 years, I guess he's remained eligible in those 3 years, or he had great grades while he was in school. And Coach, you know, you've dealt with it, even when you were coaching him. I think we probably had the toughest group of people that every time you look up, we had a guy that was, you know, he was ineligible and needed to take some extra classes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even hear that anymore.
No, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I don't hear anything about academics anymore.
Now, one thing
it's too much money involved.
Well, you're right. But something that's made it easier to get over those problems is the ability for students to take so many classes, almost all their classes online. So now you can do that. You know, there was a lot of talk about Carson Beck not going to class. Well, anything he had to take, he could do online. And you see a lot of transfers, especially the grad transfers, do that. They'll just take online courses and spend all their, you know, the rest of their time on football. So it's made it easier. And I would say this too, Slack. It's got to make it tougher to monitor and make sure that they're the ones that are doing all the work.
Exactly. And you used to hear, well, we don't offer that major here that he used to take in.
Right. Don't hear that much anymore.
San Diego State. You don't even hear that anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's the latest on the saga with the basketball player?
Well, the I don't think they have named another judge, but, you know, this judge, despite the fact that he's a season ticket holder, he may have less ties to Alabama than most of the other judges there in Tuscaloosa County, because he didn't go to school in Alabama. He's just lived there in Tuscaloosa and bought season tickets. I don't know how many judges are gonna that you're gonna find in Tuscaloosa County that didn't go to Alabama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't have a law degree, but you just see them people. Okay, all right. Real convenient.
Yeah.
What do you take on that with this kid
Well,
and the NCAA said, well, he's not eligible. And,
no, because, I mean, it is right there in black and white in NCAA rules that a player that has signed a contract with a professional team is ineligible. Now, the argument, and I can see where Bediako, especially looking at the money there is in NIL, there's more money available in NIL than there is playing in the G League. There's no question about that. And right. And I do think, I mean, he comes across as a pretty bright guy, and I don't doubt that he probably – was in good standing academically when he decided to move on, but I can see where he would look at Najee, the kid that was drafted and now at Baylor. It's like, well, he was playing in the G League. Why shouldn't we check that? So I can completely understand why an agent, especially, would go, hey, let's check this out. Worst case scenario. Is they're going to say no, and it's not going to cost you anything. And best case scenario is, you know, even if they say no, we'll see if we can get a restraining order, and we'll keep fighting it. But there's a chance, and I think there's a decent chance, Slack. And it bothers me to say it, because I don't want players to be able to leave college, go play pro in any sport for a while, and then decide to come back. Look, I have no problem with basketball and football following baseball and letting players be drafted, and then if they're not happy when they're drafted, decide to come back to college if they have eligibility left. I mean, that's fine, but I don't think you should be able to go and after, you know, a season or two, decide, nah, I don't think so, I'm going to go back to college.
So what about baseball, basketball, and football?
Well, I mean, think about this. I mean, like they're going to be – I mean, the first thought I had is, you know, baseball. You're going to have some guys who were drafted and wanted to sign pro contracts out of high school that may be struggling in the minors or really don't like those long bus rides in the backwoods of who knows where, going, man, I could be in the Southeastern Conference playing and making more money than I am here and coming back. So, I mean, I can see it easy in baseball. Basketball, I can still see, you know, some guys that go through the draft and then don't hook on and, you know, start playing professionally, wishing they were back in college, that would want to come back now after having played for a year or two. And in football, what about, you know, somebody who's drafted a whole lot lower? They go into the draft. The NCAA says their eligibility is done. They're taken late in the draft, or they're undrafted. Why shouldn't they be able to come back? But, no, I definitely can see them doing it. I mean, guys that could be, you know, hanging in the fringe, playing in the UFL or, you know, semi-pro or something like that, wanting to come back if they stayed out of eligibility. And that's maybe it's just the old guy here sitting, you know, get off my lawn kind of thing. But – that's just not that's not what college athletics is supposed to be.
Right, and I heard a guy on ESPN talking about putting an age limit on it, but, you know, hey, we had some guys on last year's basketball team, you know.
No, I don't think you can put an age limit on it because, I mean, look, legitimately you've had stories about guys that are have been in the service or have done something else, didn't have the wherewithal, couldn't afford to go to school, that go to school and then want to try to play. And I have no problem with that. So I don't think you can put an age limit. I do think, I do think players ought to be able to, I think there needs to be a time limit for the players. Jason has been the guy that's been on this for years. The five to play five. Look, you got 5 years. Whether you're hurt, whether you're whatever, come in, you got 5 years from the time you start. And I think that, I think players ought to be able to go through a draft, and then if they don't like it, immediately come back before they ever sign or play on the professional level. I think that would make things so much more fair, I think, for everybody. But we're not about fair right now. You know that.
No. It's all about the money.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned Miami paying out the contract that they get from Duke. So just say if Duke was paying this kid $3 million.
Four, supposedly, what he had a $4 million deal, I think, with him.
So now Duke's got a surplus of $4 million back in their NIL budget.
Yeah, they at least got that money back that they can spend on some other players.
Okay. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Good hearing from you, Slack. Yeah, I mean, so that's why Duke wasn't happy, but they at least got that back.
Yeah.
And that's more than fair. I mean, look, it's not like they thought it was a gamble. Not like they were, rolling, okay, here we let's spin that wheel and see. They thought they had a deal there with Mensa. So they at least got the money back.
They got something back for sure.
And and they brought in a couple of quarterbacks through the portal as well.
Right.
Let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach.
How you doing?
Bill, I just one quick comment about what you were just saying. I totally agree with everything you said, by the way. But I think the only thing that you couldn't do when it comes to the NFL with eligibility and them not liking, I think you could do it with undrafted, but in drafted, any player that's drafted through the first seven rounds, like, I don't know that if they decided they wanted to come back to college, then you're leaving an NFL team without that draft pick. So I don't know that would work.
Yeah, I thought about that, Brian. I think what you'd have to do would be for the team could retain his rights as long as possible, and then you get a compensation pick. I would think, but that would obviously wouldn't be for that year. It would, because you wouldn't know until after the draft.
Right. But that's all I got. I just was pointing
that out. No, it's a very good point. Very good point. Because those teams don't want to waste a pick that is that valuable, especially the early round picks, and have a guy turn around. I think it would be much less likely that a player drafted high would go back, although you might have situations, like in the past, Eli Manning not wanting to be, in San Diego, things like that, where players just don't want to specifically be at some place and have another option, be able to threaten to go back to college as opposed to just sitting out.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily bad for them to be able to do either. I don't know. You get into all kind of Pandora's box.
Yeah, that box is it's in pieces. You can't even put that box back together again now.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Good hearing from you, Brian. 334-321-1390. Yeah, it's not just the top's been opened. The lid's been opened on Pandora's box.
Yeah.
That box is gone. 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. Again, hopefully we'll hear from Jason Caldwell as we continue here. Getting ready for Auburn, Texas basketball over at the arena. 6 o'clock tip. Over on Wings 94.3. We'll be right back here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and AU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Yeah, it is nice. Looking out, it's 5:18. We still have sunlight out there.
Like it.
Yeah, days are getting longer.
Yes, sir.
Auburn, Texas basketball coming up tonight. A very dangerous. Stephen Pearl said this. He said, we just played the most talented team in the SEC. Texas is the most dangerous team in the SEC. And as he pointed out, they have beaten four ranked teams this year. They're 4-3 against top 25 teams. They beat NC State, who's number 23, went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, beat Vandy by 16, and beat Georgia by 20. I mean, that tells you that what they are capable of. And their three ranked losses came to number 6, Duke, number 5, UConn, and number 21, Tennessee. So, I mean, they have played really well, but they're just 3-4 in conference coming in. And the backcourt is quite the challenge. They're not a terribly deep team.
No.
And Stephen Pearl was asked, Auburn has now become a team that is playing really seven and a quarter players. I mean, because Blake Mychalek will come in and give Tahad Pettiford a breather. And yesterday, the media had a chance to spend a little time with Stephen Pearl. And Stephen was asked, about the possibility of getting some more players involved about concern for the number of minutes that guys like Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Murphy are playing game in and game out.
I mean, we had some guys that had foul trouble. Key is a guy that's in great shape, and while Key is playing heavy minutes, he's well conditioned to play those minutes. And I think he missed two checkouts, 20 in the previous game. Every single possession he was going to hit somebody. And for us to be able to compete with a team like Florida, it requires that type of effort. So Key's in great shape. Tahad, I think, played 36, and that's probably three more than what I would like for him to play. We need Blake to be able to be out there for a little bit longer than what he was. He got put out there in some difficult stretches when Florida kind of made their runs, and it had nothing to do with Blake being out there. It was just, they kind of had some momentum in those swings, and Tahad got back in. So, Tahad's, sweet spot is probably between 32 and 34. But Key, we trust Key to be able to be out there for a majority of the game when we need him to. Would it be nice to not have to play him 38 minutes? Absolutely. But, this league is going to require us to, have to shorten our rotation a little bit and play guys more minutes than what they're used to. So that's why we, kind of limit what we do in practice, because we need those guys to be fresh and furious for games.
KO led y'all in plus minus the other night in 26 minutes. It seems like last few games his defense has been really – how big has he been as y'all have gotten so good over these last few games on the defensive end?
For the last two, just he got two quarter, like a 8-minute rotation. And, we need him to be out there. But, he's just – he really sits down and guards with A.J. Storr. He was 6-for-19, and KO's on him a majority of that game. KO is going to have his hands full again. Mark and Pope, all really, really, really talented scoring guards. All of our guards have got to all five guys have got to step up in this game and defend. And, it starts with KO because he's the guy that kind of sets the tone. And when KO sits down and gets wide and gets in a stance and plays physically and jump contests every time, he's a difference maker. His body language the last two games was so damn good. He was just so calm. And he, I think our guys fed off of that. We had – I think double-digit leads in both games that got cut down to one possession or tied. And both times in the huddle, I thought I did a good job of communicating constructively, and we were able to find ways to, extend those leads back out, and I thought KO was a big part of that.
Y'all are shooting 82% from the line as a team these last three games. I know you talked about how big it was against Florida, but everybody kind of contributed. How big has that been for y'all?
Yes, it is. If we don't shoot that or a 12-point win at Ole Miss and a 9-point win at Florida and however many we won by against South Carolina. So, it's the difference in winning and losing, especially on the road. And, our guys we've just been consistent in our routine. We haven't changed anything. We just continuously do what we do in practice, and our guys have done a good job stepping up. And, obviously when Murph goes 12-for-13 in the last two games, that makes a huge difference. Tahad, I don't think, missed a free throw in the last two games. KO made all his free throws. Guys that have consistently been stepping up and making them have continued to make them, and a couple guys that haven't, made some huge free throws in the last two games that were able to help.
2-0 on the road. I mean, teams are probably going to have a 2-0 week on the road. It's almost like you're picking up a game on the league. But, how important is that, especially when you talk about you kind of mentioned this team maybe not even winning that game 3 weeks ago, and then now you go 2-0.
I've said it since – since I got the job, I thought even that week we had great practices. We've had really good practices every single day. We've stayed consistent in what we're doing with our preparation as two. And that Florida game may have counted as three, just because I don't think anyone else is going in there and beating them this year. I don't. Ole Miss has shown to be a really good home team. Places to play, Ole Miss was jam-packed, never seen. But what do we do from here? Three games in a row. And then we came in there and beat them. They might have been feeling pretty good about themselves, because as they should, they're really, really good. If we let this thing, we got to keep that chip on our shoulder. We got to have our backs against the wall, because that's the only way that we can play well and beat this talented. And they're the most dangerous team in our league. So we got to stay locked into what we've been doing and continue to play hungry.
want to ask you about Texas on defense. You know, they're more of an offensive team for most of the season, but last few games they held Georgia to 67, Vandy to 64, and teams on defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes when teams are playing well offensively, it can allow their defense to play even better, and we're guilty of that just as much as anybody, and I think Texas has some of that as well. Like, when they're knocking down shots and they're playing with great confidence offensively, then their physicality defensively and their movement defensively gets even better. So it's a game where, you know, we have to be really good defensively, because if they start hitting on all cylinders offensively, that's when they become really, really dangerous defensively, and they show the ability to sit down and guard, and because they're, you know, they have good size down there. You know, they push the ball and try and strip and rip and plug the gaps, and, you know, they're going to make us settle. And, you know, when the ball does go to the rim, you know, Boca Titus is sitting down there, you know, and just trying to get water. We got to do a great job of all the things that we've talked about the previous weeks, as far as what we're doing offensively and just executing and staying disciplined in order to score against these guys.
Stephen Pearl, yesterday, as he spoke with the media, and again, the Tigers about 35 minutes away from the tip for tonight's matchup against Texas, an opportunity to go 2 games over .500 in conference play. And really, you know, get themselves off to a good start here in this six-game, really difficult stretch, which has Tennessee next on the road, then Alabama and Vandy at home before they go to Arkansas to starting with that Florida win. Great start there. You don't want to give it back after you won a big road game. You don't want to give one back at home. Yeah. Auburn already has that one home loss, and you like to try to, you know, win at home,
if possible. You got to protect your home court.
Yep. Couple of things to get to again.
Crazy.
We're waiting to hear from Jason Caldwell. Still more reaction, and the reaction from everyone is just astonishment that Bill Belichick was not a first ballot NFL Hall of Famer. Regardless of what you think of him personally, you know, I mean, I've seen people going, yeah, well, look at rough year at North Carolina. What are you doing messing with the young, with someone who's, you're old enough to be her grandfather? Not quite, but I mean, well, he may be. He's close, yeah. But, what's that got to do with his qualifications for the NFL Hall of Fame? And the Hall of Fame issuing a statement saying, now this is really interesting, though, that it may remove members of the selection committee who violated its bylaws. Now, I would think that the bylaws say vote for who you feel is qualified. The most qualified, yeah, for the Hall of Fame. I don't see where they're going to be able to say if you didn't vote for someone who should be a first ballot guy, you're out. But here's the statement. The Pro Football Hall of Fame understands and respects the passionate reaction of many fans, media members, and enshrinees of the Hall itself in light of published reports regarding the voting results of the class of 2026. Because the results aren't even officially out. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are just reports that Bill Belichick's not in, and we're seeing that Eli Manning for the second straight year didn't make it in. But the statement continues, it's that very passion that propels the game. The Hall also respects the members of the selection committee when they follow the selection process bylaws. It is an honor to serve as a selector. Each year, the Hall reviews the selection process and the composition of the 50-person selection committee. If it is determined that any member violated the selection process bylaws, they understand action will be taken. That could include the possibility that such selectors would not remain a member of the committee moving forward. The selection of a new class is the most important duty the Hall of Fame oversees each year, and the integrity of that process cannot be in question. I understand that. That's nice. But I don't see where you can say you didn't vote for him, you're out. On the other hand, I think it's very fair if they want to post the names of those selectors, yeah, who didn't vote for them, so that the entire world could ask them, why didn't you vote?
Right.
And try to get an answer and see if that answer is
legit,
a responsible answer, because I doubt that a lot of them would be.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm shocked he didn't get in. I mean, you know, six as a head coach.
Yes.
Two as an assistant, I believe. So, you know, whether you like him or not, you got to go. If you're going to do it the right way, he deserved to be
in. Look, the Hall of Fame isn't necessarily for sweethearts and nice guys.
There's a lot of guys in there. Yeah.
Yeah, in any sport, I think. So, anyway, that's really interesting there.
That is very interesting. Yep. And probably hadn't heard the end of it.
Oh, no. No, I'm sure we haven't.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still have a half an hour to go. Plenty of time for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive. Thank you.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Auburn, Texas basketball coming up in less than a half an hour over at Auburn Arena. And Kevin Overton, you heard Justin Ferguson asking a question about KO and how important his defense is. You wonder if he's going to line up against Darius Swain, the 6'8 wing that Texas has tonight. They've got a great trio of guards. And Kevin Overton sort of is the leader of the Auburn defense. And we had an opportunity to spend a few minutes with him yesterday. Here are some of his comments as the Tigers get ready for Texas coming up tonight. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't edit it. We're waiting for him to get questions. Here we go.
I would say the attention to detail to the scouts. I think we've, since our last loss, clamped down on the details just in terms of individual players and just not doing the extra. I think we've got outside of ourselves in certain games of just not really believing what's really going on in the game with these players. So I think just cracking down on the details.
What does a healthy Murph mean for you guys? On the court and from a confidence standpoint?
Yeah. I definitely have memory of saying, like, having a healthy Keyshawn Murphy and a healthy Keyshawn Hall is, like, I think one of the scariest front courts you could play against. But he's been tremendous. I think having him and then complimenting Phillip off the bench is great for us. But, I mean, we've all seen he's been great. But if he can stay healthy, I think he'll do nothing but get better. Having him actually get reps and be healthy for a string of games up until now has been what it clearly has showed for us, yeah.
When Steven was in here, he was talking about all the firepower that Texas has and said that you would be kind of the front line of defense and guarding some of those guys. Can you talk about the challenge that you personally feel for trying to do some of that tomorrow?
Yeah, every game I try to put myself in the mindset that we have to win the guard matchup, not necessarily by outscoring or outplaying. It's just like, for me, it's defense. So if we can lock down those guards, I think that changes everything in the game. So my approach to especially this next coming game is obviously stopping who we need to stop, but understanding that I am the front line of defense. So it's not like I can come out and be lax. So, I mean, it's the same approach as any other game. Yeah.
You guys have shot really well from the free throw line these last few games. You haven't missed one in the last 3 games. Just how big is it as the team as a whole, y'all getting as good as y'all got these last few games from the line?
Free throws have been the reason we've lost, I think, some games. So just being able to make those free throws in conference play, I think, is more important than obviously non-conference. But we've had some funny things go on, and for guys to make free throws, I think if y'all heard the stories of how guys are making free throws, it'd be insane. But it's definitely fun to see.
Like,
yeah. I don't know if you noticed, Keyshawn Murphy switches feet, but he switches feet up, and I do that, and I kind of like helped him do that. So it's funny to see him switch his feet, and he had a game, I think it was Ole Miss, where he made like 5 or 6, and I was just like so happy for him. But it was like just to see stuff like that is fun to see. Yeah.
Coach,
Seem talked about handling success. Mm-hmm. What's the message as an for your older guys to this team about not getting too high, too low, and handling success?
Yeah, being able to learn in winning, I think, is huge for especially me. I don't really harp on wins. I feel like most of my college career, even in high school, has been generically winning. So I've had to learn how to be better in winning in a lot of different ways. So just not being satisfied, but keeping the same approach that we had whenever we were desperate in 1-3, and just remembering that you can't really put yourself in those shoes because that's not what's going on, but you can remember back how you felt when you were 1-3, 2-3, 3-3, need to win this game, feel like the season's on the line, stuff like that. So just keeping that same approach.
Kevin, you talked about details when it comes to the defense, especially. Coach has talked a lot about being in the gaps, especially in one-on-one. What does that mean to you as a perimeter defender, being in the gaps and getting help in the gaps defensively?
Yeah, I think that's helped us just in our connectivity and our, like, feeling like there's a comfort. I think being on the ball a lot, you need to feel like either one way or another, I have help. I have to have help one of those ways. So I think in our defense, that's helped feel like we're more connected. Gives me a comfort and a peace knowing that if I do get beat one way or another, somebody can help me just for a split second to get back in front.
Kevin Overton yesterday, as the media had a chance to spend a little time with him after talking with Coach Stephen Pearl. Tigers and Longhorns coming up tonight. Well, I see where Alex Golish is done with the media. Jason has posted a video of Coach Golish. And if we don't get to hear from Jason, we may let you hear some of Golish's comments there down in Mobile. He's there, you know, with the supporting the Auburn players. Now, I'm sure there may be a South Florida player or two.
Yeah.
That's there. But, I mean, it's good for the head coach to
yes.
to show up down there in Mobile.
Yeah, it's a great time to communicate and contact a lot of other people. There'll be a ton of high school coaches there. There'll be a ton of college coaches. I only got to go a few times because I was normally recruiting somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
but
back
it's like a convention.
Yeah, that was back when signing day was February.
Yeah,
and I mean, it
we
was critically.
On the road.
You didn't want to be wasting any time unless there were great prospects in Mobile and Joe
right,
Witt.
Right.
Joe Witt was going to be having those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, I was fortunate. I got to go a couple times. Probably the coldest I've ever been in my life, standing down there one day at practice. But it's really a good deal. It's well run, like you said, Bill, earlier. I think they've done a great job for years with it. And it's important, and it's an honor to be asked to participate in it and to coach in it. And, it's very important for the head coach to Auburn to be there. Even if just for a day, I'm sure he hit some Mobile schools.
Oh, you know it.
And around, you know, there's such good football, Saraland, all down through there. He's been visible, and I've also noticed on some of the websites and stuff where high school coaches have posted, glad to have Coach so-and-so from Auburn visit our school today. So important. Even though we're not big into high school recruiting, it's still so important.
Oh, but you want to still be the guy that it's
yes.
the top of the minds
right, right.
Of the players. You
right.
never know when
right.
when a school may turn out a can't miss
right.
guy that you just really, really want to have.
And I've heard they're going to try to bring back the coaching clinic here on campus
yeah.
this year. That was a big deal for Coach Tuberville and us. We'd have, you know, hundreds of coaches. We had the crawfish feed, all the hospitality stuff, great speakers. You got to do that stuff. You got to go to, you know, the big thing in Albany, Georgia, or Macon, and I know they're going to do that. You got to be seen. You got to be out. You got to work the state and surrounding states.
All right, we will get to our final break. When we come back, we'll see if we can check in with Jason tomorrow. But we're courtesy of Jason and Auburn Undercover. We're going to let you hear some of the comments from Alex Golish when we come back. And I may head over toward the arena for basketball tonight.
Call in. We can close it out
as well. Yeah, we'll see if we can do that. I'll get us into it.
Sure.
And then we'll let you hear some comments from Alex Golish when we come back for the final segment of the Wednesday Drive.
Auburn IT delivers professional IT support to business.
At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment here on the Wednesday Drive with Bill and Don. And no Jason Caldwell today on the show, but because of Jason being down in Mobile, we're able to let you hear his interview. In the meantime, he talked with Auburn football coach Alex Golish, again, courtesy of Auburn Undercover.
Alex, talk about portal call for you guys. And just, are you in the final stages of that, or are there any other positions you're looking at adding? And it's kind of late in the game here with classes and everything like that.
Yeah, we have a little bit of room. It's this last part of there's going to be this last surge of kids that potentially graduate in May. They still got to go to school. It's like a thing still. So graduate in May. There's some late May out junior college guys, some late qualifier high school guys. We've left ourselves a little bit of room, but for the most part, you feel like it's close to done.
Running back room, being able to keep Jeremiah and adding multiple proven backs. I guess, what's your vision for that room, and how big was it to add Bryson and Nakai?
Yeah, you know what? It was a matter of adding just college reps. You feel like the younger you are in that room, the scarier it is going into the year. It was a matter of adding, like, Bryson brings two and a half years of starting game experience at the Power Four level. More than anything, the kind of kid he is, like, he was hungry to go play in an offense where he can run the ball, wanted to play in the SEC, wanted to play against the best talent in the country. That's what you were looking for in general in the portal. You wanted guys that ran to an opportunity to play in the best league in the country and truly ran to an offense, at least offensively ran to an offense, and then defensively ran to a defense that they knew they were going to play at a high level. Bryson was that. Certainly Nakai brings. Nakai's still young. That's the thing. With as excited as we were about Nakai, he's still a baby. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, missed his whole freshman year. Everything he did was kind of on raw talent, and he's still got to continue to develop. Tay, in the same breath, you wanted a guy that had experience playing. And running the ball is one thing. The pass protection is the biggest thing that comes with experience and seeing defenses and seeing pre-snap reads. And you feel like we went from, man, what exactly are we going to do here to a really, really good room. You started off with Jeremiah, having him back. I was actually just at his high school 2 days ago, kind of a deja vu moment. Last time I was there was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I guess now, at a different school recruiting him. But he brings a veteran presence and a true Auburn man that started there, wants to finish there, and certainly really excited about that room.
You got DJ Brower at MGM. Bryce Kane is from Baker High School. How important is the Gulf Coast in your recruiting efforts from this season and moving forward?
Yeah, huge. I think just really covering this state has been such a priority for us. It's where we started. You know, this period's so crazy. I think I end up with 9 days out on the road with finishing portal recruiting, which was a priority, our own team being a priority, and then being able to get out. But the entire state's huge. Certainly right here in Mobile is absolutely huge for us. You look at the guys that have come out of here that have played at Auburn, absolutely huge.
Wanted to ask you about what's going on in college basketball right now with Charles Fediako and how that could translate potentially to college football. You know, if a guy declares for the draft, goes undrafted, or is even on a practice squad in the NFL, them potentially coming back and, you know, using up the rest of their eligibility in the college ranks.
Would you believe me if I haven't paid much attention to it? Man, crazy would add a bigger pool of players, wouldn't it? I don't know. I really don't. It would certainly add a bigger pool of kids. I think college football is evolving so fast, and every single time there's a situation like that, your my antennas go up. And, you know, I think with every change or every ruling or lack of ruling, you got an opportunity to either sit and complain about it, which I think we tend to as coaches,
I've always looked at it the other way. It's like, man, where's the loophole in here? Who's available out there that we can go get that fits what we do? But certainly fascinating. From a legal side, fascinating. How did it work out for him last weekend?
Pretty good.
Well, he won last night.
Yeah.
14 and 6 in 18 minutes. So.
Gotcha.
Alex, this, the offensive line rebuild, what do you think of that room and having to go out and you guys brought in some experience, some depth. What do you think about the offensive line group so far?
Yeah, that was a group you go in and, man, if there was anything you were like, how's this going to play out? Because it wasn't just filling the what you felt like were the starters. You felt like you needed to fill some backup roles. And we're in a situation where we walked in, signed a big freshman class and a really talented freshman class. And you felt like there was a really talented young group in there, but it was filling those roles where those guys can develop and give those guys time to develop. You know, you kind of saw how it progressed. We started with the tackle spots. We felt like we worked to the interior of the line. Feel like we got a ton of experienced guys. That was what, similar to the running back group, we wanted guys that had played at a high level and not just a year, but guys that had started for multiple years and can understand the tempo at which defenses in this league play. And I think we did a really, really good job. I still feel like, man, if there's one out there, you feel like you can go get one. I think that's a position where you're always looking. We're really done. But I do feel like we've got some veteran presence. I'm really excited about the youth in that room. You hope you don't find out about the youth here for a while, though.
How much does having a center and a quarterback who played for you before speed up the installation of the offense?
Monumental. I think absolutely priceless. It honestly lets you go to sleep at night a little bit to where, you know, like we're not there right now. You got our young coaches there. Obviously, they're with the strength staff, but they're plugging already. And I think every day that you can get ahead offensively and you feel like there's continuity and rhythm, you got a chance to have success. You can kind of skip that first couple of games where people are figuring it out. Both Cole and Byram honestly let you sleep at night a little bit. And Cole has position flexibility. There's some guys in that room on the interior that have position. I would tell you priceless.
Alex, on that similar note, I mean, how important is it to have guys with familiarity in this offense at other positions, particularly wide receiver? And I guess were those conversations maybe a little bit easier than some other guys in the portal? I know you've talked a lot about proof of concept. Those guys have had proof of concept within your offense. I guess what were those conversations like with them following you from your previous stop?
Yeah, I think twofold. The familiarity with the offense is absolutely huge. To be honest with you, I think more than that, because you've got time, you can install an offense, and we're going to evolve offensively because it's going to fit personnel, and it's been that every year.
All right, some good stuff from Coach down at Mobile at the Senior Bowl. This is Don Dunn, thanking everybody that called in today. Thanks for all our sponsors. Thanks to Drew on the board. And, of course, Bill is on his way to the game tonight. Big game tonight versus Texas. Get a chance. Watch it. If you're lucky enough to go, enjoy, be safe, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, and good night.